This song always makes me want to interpret dance. What a great song. That's a good pick. Good pick.
We were both thinking of it.
We were both thinking of it. Great day. Great day to listen to some Toto. Welcome to the 21st episode of Charlie and Me. Our podcast can officially drink. Cheers.
21. We're 21. Cheers.
Cheers. I turned 21 in a month.
24.
If you are not our friends and family, thanks for listening. We're not sure why you're here. If you are our friends and family, we have a very family-oriented podcast.
Ready to go?
Lots of family. Lots of family. We love it.
Mi familia.
Mi familia. And let's hop into it. Charlie, what's new?
I went to the Cubs game this weekend. That was pretty exciting. Yep. They won, so even more exciting.
I don't want
to take all the credit for the win, but I will.
But you should, yeah. I don't blame you.
I was there, they won. So, beat the Cardinals. Great game. Shout out Robbie for joining us. He's the last week's guest. Joining me out on the bleachers. I had a good time. Another thing. Apparently, in Park Ridge at Subway, on Tuesdays, you get free cookies. You get a free cookie.
Free cookie?
Free cookie. So, I enjoyed a nice free cookie today, and I ate the crap out of it, and it was awesome.
I'm jealous. What kind of cookie was it?
Oatmeal raisin. I got a pick. Mm. And
that's the worst one you could possibly pick.
I love oatmeal.
That's pretty gross. I really don't like oatmeal raisin cookies.
I like oatmeal. I'll tolerate raisins. So
let me see if you like the M&M ones.
Well, they had M&Ms. We're talking about chip cookies. And I was like, nyeh.
Nyeh.
Nyeh. What about you, G?
Had a good weekend. Pretty relaxed, just beautiful, beautiful weather. Played a little bit of golf, played terribly. It was just the most miserable round I've played in a long time, but it was fun. What else did I do? Went to my parents for dinner, went fishing, caught a largemouth bass.
Largemouth.
Don't tell the DNR, I don't have a license. It was a private pond. Pretty sure I don't know. Who knows?
I don't think that matters.
No, I don't know. I went four-wheeling kind of on a – it wasn't really a four-wheeler.
Four-wheeling on a three-wheel.
Well, there's four wheels involved. It just wasn't really a four-wheeler. It was fun. You got to think going like 40 down like a little road and you're kind of bopping around. It's kind of scary, but it was awesome. It was awesome. What else? That's about it. Yeah, work. I've been doing that for a couple years – a year now.
Work every day.
Yep. Let's do a little podium. What's our podium on today?
Beer.
Beer.
So, 21st episode, podcast is turning 21. Our podcast is drinking.
Our podcast is getting white girl wasted on heavy beers, it sounds like.
Just don't be a woo girl.
Don't be a woo girl. All right. You go first. What's your first one?
Going to my tried and true number one beer. Bell's Two Hearted.
That's a good one. That's a definitely good choice. I had that on the list, actually.
It's got a great label.
It does.
And it's like, it's just a good beer you can have in almost any situation. When in doubt, go Bell's Two Hearted.
I like that pick. That's fun. My first one, this is kind of a tough pick, but I think I'm just going to have to go with a classic right away. A little Guinness.
I'd say Bud Light.
Bud Light? No, I hate Bud Light.
I know. Guinness. That was on my backup list.
Guinness, just smooth like a Guinness. Nothing smoother.
I agree. It's just staple. It's another staple beer.
It's like a recovery beer.
Sure. My number two is, it's like a dinner beer. You're having a dinner. The Surly Bender. It's an oatmeal stout. Mm.
Sounds filling.
It's very filling. That's why it's a dinner beer, you know?
You're a little bit of an oatmeal kick, huh?
I am. I guess I am. Yeah, you only have one, maybe two, and it's just the flavor is unbelievable, but can't drink a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't blame you on that. Boy, number two for me, I think I'm going to have to go Fresh Squeezed. The Chute's Fresh Squeezed. That's a good one. The Fresh Squeezed IPA. It's a hot afternoon. You want a substantial beer. You get the Fresh Squeezed, and it's still refreshing. It's got that crisp bite. It's still refreshing. A little Fresh Squeezed. I love it.
I've never had that one.
You should get it in your belly. Stock in your fridge.
Okay, my third one is going to be another just one of those classic beers. Fat Tire.
Ooh, I had that on the list. Definitely made the cut.
Another one you can just drink whenever. Drink whenever you need to.
It's kind of a go-to in more formal settings.
Yeah.
You're not feeling like having a heavy drink. You're like, I'll have a Fat Tire, and then you still feel kind of classy.
Yeah, it's not like a college beer, but like it's like everywhere. It's like very popular, so a lot of people have it places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good call. I like that one. Last one. I'm getting ready for the beach. I got a little vacation coming up in a couple weeks. Red Stripe.
Another beer.
A little Jamaican style Red Stripe.
Jamaican man.
I'm a big fan. I had it my first time when I was at my cousin's wedding, right before college. It was great. So it was a good introduction.
I was toying with putting on the summer beer when you're just day drinking all day of the Iowan people. I was toying with putting Busch Light.
That was going to be my first one. It was either that one or Guinness.
And I was going to put Busch Light on there because I was like, I just got to put it.
It was that one or that, but I felt like we were going a different direction. So.
We kept it a little classier, I guess.
But Busch Light is the honorable mention for first place.
I'll second that notion.
I also had like PBR on there. Nothing makes you feel a little more hipster than just drinking a PBR. You can fit into any environment there too. Well, lots of environments. Not any really, but
yeah,
lots of them.
Proud of us for not saying Bud Light.
And I've also been a little bit of a Coors Banquet kick.
That's a solid one. Not a huge fan, but I'll drink it without any questions.
I like Coors Banquet. I don't like Coors Light. Coors Light is garbage. But Coors Banquet, on the other hand, pretty solid.
The Banquet beer.
It's the Banquet beer. Ooh. Huh.
That's what it's like their commercial.
we left off another good one. Miller High Life. The champagne of beers.
There we go.
Oh, man. I don't know where the champagne ends and the beer starts. It's just amazing.
Just one continuous pour.
It's just like a beer bong of beer and champagne.
The champagne and beer, Grant. Come on, like.
Sorry.
You're going in circles.
I know.
Round and round we go.
I just love it so much. yeah, I didn't put any. I did put an IPA on there. Never mind.
I tried to hit.
I tried to be broad, so we'll see.
I don't know. I tend to put like a summer shandy on there or something, like another like summer beer.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of ignored the summertime drinking, but I think we've already kind of talked about that.
Yeah,
so.
We've talked about the summertime drinking, but anyway, we got a good interview coming up, and I think we're just going to pop right into it and get it going here.
Let's do it.
All right. Now we welcome on a very special guest. Some would say my other counterpart. I think a lot would actually say that. But my twin sister, Claire. Claire, welcome on.
Hi, thank you. So by counterpart, you mean better half?
I guess that's one way of putting it. I had Charlie. Charlie was one of my counterparts, and then you would be the other one. But I guess the better half. And then Charlie, you're the better half of my bad half.
No, I'm the best half.
Well, of my bad half, though.
Cause really, I'll take it.
Because really, I'm like two people. Anyway.
Also.
You should know the first question coming at you. If you've ever heard it before, which I know you've listened to this before, and if you haven't, don't tell me now.
Just say you have.
what is your favorite Charlie and Me moment?
So I was trying to think about this when you first asked me to be on the show, and I am having a lot of trouble coming up with a story that includes both of you, which apparently means I need to hang out with you guys more. I don't know.
Obviously.
I have heard a lot of stories, but I don't have a lot of, firsthand stories with the two of you?
Mm-hmm. We could jog your memory a couple times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You guys have suggestions of the story I should tell?
We have your 21st birthday party. We have our graduation.
Graduation, yeah, that was another good one.
We have Drake Relays.
Yeah. Anna told the graduation one already, though. Your listeners have heard that.
True, true. Drake Relays.
Drake Relays.
Wrestling champion.
Boom. Heavyweight.
The 21st birthday was a good story.
That was a great time.
Do you not remember it or what?
I mean, I remember it. It was a fun time. I remember it probably better than you do.
Oh, of course. But of course.
I was a little behind, though. You guys got a head start on me, so.
Yeah, you came back from work, and then I think
you guys were drinking in the garage, because classic. That's a real fun time, apparently.
Classic, some Miller Lite that we'll never drink again.
No.
I mean, you convinced Mom to get a keg, though. That's pretty cool.
That was a good move. That was a solid move.
For like 8 of us.
5 people.
Generous 12. A generous 12 people.
12 is generous, yeah.
Well, if you just count people that circulated in, I'm just going to say 12. And then John Shumway decided to take laps as far most outside of the bar as possible.
Absolute perimeter of Wellman's on Ingersoll.
Climbing over boots.
Just like behind a table of people that were seated almost against the wall. Just sneaking past.
Goes into the kitchen.
Through the kitchen.
Yeah, pretty much the kitchen. Good times. John, yeah, he was really fun to wrangle that night. He shattered a glass on the patio while he was, like, standing out there alone. So, yeah. And, was it Kate and I that had the glorious opportunity of driving him home?
Yes, yes, let's share that one. John's going to hate this one.
John, yeah, sorry, this isn't really like a Grant and Charlie story.
We were there for it, though.
You guys were there the whole time. So, yeah, Kate and I are in the car getting drunk John home. And for a relatively small person, he is hard to wrangle while drunk. But I don't know if he was just being an asshole in the back seat or what. But at one point, Kate stopped the car and got out and, like, held either side of his face and, like, yelled at him in her scary military voice. And he literally instantly passed out. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Just the moment. Just out.
He was just out. It was like the fear reaction was just pass out. I think that was the best part. He was mostly just an asshole that night, but yeah, good times.
You know, sometimes I feel like I could use someone like Kate to yell at me at 3 in the morning and just put me to sleep. Like, I can't. She doesn't listen to this podcast, so I guess I can say this, but she doesn't want to have kids. Otherwise, I'm sure her kids would be in bed 8 o'clock every night. 8 o'clock every night.
Yeah, a great person, but you don't want to piss her off.
No.
Oh, God.
Not at all.
All right, moving on from that.
Thanks for being there. Thanks for helping us celebrate.
Always.
Yeah. Claire, I want to know what it was like growing up with Grant, because I can only imagine. So I want to know one moment where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's my brother. It can be good or bad.
Yeah.
Or bad. Interesting.
Like, oh my God, I can't believe he's my brother. He's the genius type person.
Yeah, that happened.
I feel like I've seen some really good moments from Grant. Like, a lot of his, like, volunteer work and things throughout high school were a lot of, like, oh my God, I can't believe that's my brother. Like, he's an amazing person. But I do have one. I can't believe that's my brother. He's a big idiot story. I mean, there are more than one, but there's one that I particularly wanted to share. Grant, do you remember the night you proposed to Connor?
Oh, this is a good one. This is funny.
That's a good one. So I'm sure most of your listeners know drunk Grant and probably know Connor or of Connor.
Yeah.
Pretty, yeah. So this was, I think, freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. We were home on Christmas break.
Yeah, good Christmas.
And Grant went to hang out with Connor and some friends, someone's house, and apparently got much farther into the peppermint schnapps than everyone else.
Yep. I need to brush my teeth.
So he gets home, like, after everyone's gone to bed, and Anna, I don't know if she heard the car door or the, like, back door open at the house, but then nothing else. So she went down to investigate, and Grant is face down on the kitchen floor, just out. The door is still open. It's December.
It's not warm.
What?
It's not warm. I didn't let any bugs in, though.
Yeah, thankfully. No, it was just, you know, freezing outside. So she, like, gets you up, and you apparently said that you really needed a glass of water. And so instead of, like, getting out of glass like a normal person, you went and stuck your head, again, face down, under the faucet, because that was going to quench your thirst. So we finally, like, get you upstairs and into bed, and you are just, like, moaning. We, like, try to go back to bed, but whatever, you're drunk, you're fine. Just moaning in your bed. We can hear you from, like, the other side of the upstairs. Like, what is wrong with you? What, like, what happened?
I was possessed.
I text Connor, like, what did he drink? Like, what's happening? But you won't stop. We try to get you to stop because we know that mom and dad are going to be pissed if they hear this. But you won't stop. We finally are like, okay, maybe something's actually wrong with him and he's injured and we need to help him. So we get mom and dad up and are like, Grant is super drunk, but he says he's in pain and I don't know what's wrong. So they come down. Piss is all hell. My mom is like sitting there with her like mad, disappointed face, arms crossed like, you're a dumbass. And dad gets you up and gets you, he's like, get in the shower. You're disgusting. So he like forces you to take a shower. Meanwhile, you're yelling at him that like you're not drunk and you're fine and I don't know what else. Just being a jerk. And at one point, you decided that you wanted to fight him. Challenged dad to a fight. What? I think mom almost killed you right there.
Yeah, that was tough.
But dad just laughed, like pushed you back into bed, just like pushed you down.
Probably
you
with one finger, yeah.
Yeah. So that was all happening, and meanwhile I'm texting Connor like, what happened to him? Like, why is he so drunk? So this is how I found out about the peppermint schnapps and that you were way drunker than everyone else. And in the midst of all this, he goes, but did he tell you? He's like, tell me what? That he asked me to marry him.
He said yes.
He said yes. Oh my god, when's the wedding?
Well, we were gonna elope. I said we should just go to Vegas right now.
You guys need a witness.
Well, we were going to elope and go to Vegas right then, and we could have found a witness somewhere.
But
fell through.
Well, keep posted on any future wedding plans, please.
Yeah, I definitely
that
would.
Win and I haven't heard that you guys broke it off, so.
I haven't either, so coming. I guess as of now, we're still holding on. So, yeah.
So, Charlie. Break your heart, but he's taken.
Dang it.
But yeah, that was one of my biggest, I can't believe this is my brother stories.
I have heard that story before, just from a different perspective, so.
From my freshman year of college, I definitely was posed to get myself into some sort of a fight.
Yeah.
After that year, though. Yeah, we already had that story. We already had that story, Shane.
Episode one
pops out right away. Ever since then, I was a lot more jovial of a drunk. So luckily,
that's good.
Yeah.
What episode is this? How many?
This is our 21st episode.
We're.
And I told the 21st birthday story. Perfect.
That was good. Yeah. It was actually a little bit of a theme here. This is our podcast's first drinking episode. They're allowed to drink. Our podcast can now. I'm not drinking right now.
National Margarita Day?
National Margarita Day?
I thought it was National Tequila Day.
Oh, really? Why wasn't that happen on a Tuesday? Oh, it is a Tuesday.
Taco Tuesdays, man.
Nice.
Whoops. This week's been going by weird. Woo! Over the head. All right. Bonehead Grant. Nice. Being a twin, we get a lot of weird questions. Like, are you identical? What's it like being a twin? First of all, what's your favorite question that you get when you tell someone you're a twin?
So I do like the "Are you identical?" question, because it doesn't sound like a weird question, but it is, because we can't be identical.
There's no way.
Most people think it's a logical question until you look at them like, no.
My twin sister?
Together.
Yeah, that's a good one. But further, what's your favorite reaction you get from someone when they're like, wait, you're a twin? I had someone like that knew me all through college, and then I told them, and they were like, you have a twin? I was like, yeah, all my life.
So I was talking about this to somebody. Well, we were talking about, like, we were talking about parents remembering birthdays, because dads apparently are all, notoriously really bad at remembering their children's birthdays.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't think my dad could tell you mine, and he probably can. But I was like, but he has two kids that were born on that day. And they looked at me like, you have the same birthday? It's like,
yeah, I'm a twin.
That one was good.
That is a good one. That is a good one. Yeah. It's weird getting questions about that, for sure. My favorite one.
Breathing, because it's the same.
Yeah. They're like, what was it like growing up with a twin? I was like, I don't know. Did you have siblings? It was like the exact same thing. But I guess a lot of that might be because we're not identical. But I digress.
Yeah. I think that is a different perspective on twins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll jump in here. I have a sibling.
Congrats.
I have one.
Okay. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's a grade A. But Claire, I heard you had to go to Vegas for work a little bit ago, but I also hear you're not a gambler. So I want to know, what do you have against gambling?
What I have against it?
Yeah.
So I don't have anything against it, but I don't know any of the table games very well, and I hate feeding money into a slot to watch it disappear.
I respect that. Don't play slots.
You should come with Charlie and I next time.
Big winners.
You'll play.
So yeah, I need to learn a good blackjack strategy or something, and then it would probably be fun.
We can get you there.
It's pretty basic. Okay. Oh, basic strategy.
Nice. Can you count to 21?
21.
With a lot of different, different numbers.
Six, but something about it still makes me very nervous.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's gambling.
I've always been a money saver too, so I think that is part of it.
Yeah. My philosophy on that goes out the window when gambling comes into play. But I don't like the slots either. I can't play the slots very well. I just don't enjoy it. But I also don't like to sit at a table by myself, because that's when you are really deemed a gambler.
Yeah.
Unless you're in Vegas, that's a little different. You're on Vegas on a trip and your friends are all asleep and you're at a table. That's a little different. Because then...
Is it different?
Grant. Grant and I did that.
Yeah, I mean that's different. That's different. But if you're at a table in Des Moines, Iowa, at Prairie Meadows, Altoona, and
I feel if you're just at Prairie Meadows by yourself at any time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just not a good call.
If you're not with someone, whether you came with them or not, if you guys are separated at any time, you look sad.
Yeah, we definitely support safe gambling on this podcast. 1-800-BETS-OFF. So.
If you need help, call Grant.
Yes. I will note that number for future use, because obviously I need it.
Yes, definitely. So this one's a little more serious, but growing up in a busy family as we had, there was always so much going on when we were growing up, and it kind of tapered off as we got older. But how do you think that kind of hectic, I mean, great hectic, don't get me wrong, how that great hectic environment kind of prepared you for the real world?
amazing question.
Thank you.
Thanks. yeah, I mean, it definitely was, like, crazy. I think one of the biggest things I got out of, I mean, we had great guidance from parents and...
And siblings,
yes. Some good twin advice. But I think one of the biggest things I got from, like, growing up in our family is, like, our vantage point in the family was really good because we got to watch the older girls kind of do their thing and make some mistakes, and we kind of got to learn from them without having to do some of that.
Yeah, not that I didn't, but...
like, learned better ways to do some of those things.
Sneakier.
There were some of those, but yeah, I think that was really good, and I think having you, like, I learned to share pretty well, pretty fast.
Yep.
Throughout, so.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there was definitely an advantage to having those older siblings and parents and whatnot, and so you could. I think you and I are a lot more. Mellow in argumentative situations sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because of that, and I think it comes from our vantage point as well, but I thought it was an interesting question, so yeah. I asked it.
What do you think?
I think that, I don't know, I mean, I think we definitely came from, we were the lucky ones out of the four.
I mean, all of us, but yeah.
Well, I know, but lucky ones as in we got that perspective and really guidance along the way from everyone, and everyone, they kind of blazed the path for us, and next thing you know, the sea was parted and you just got to walk through it. So there was definitely an advantage to that, and I really appreciated that growing up, but yeah.
Okay, on a very serious note.
Very serious.
If you were to get a tattoo, what would it be? Where would you put it? Grant's face is always an option. This might make the most sense.
Yeah.
For you.
You could explain to people, like, here's my twin, and just show them your bicep.
You really don't look anything alike, can't you tell?
he dances.
What would I get? I should have been prepared for this question. I know you asked this one to everyone.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
I don't know. I'm, like, very noncommittal, so I feel like a tattoo and the permanence...
Great idea. Yeah.
That's kind of the fun of it.
Yeah.
50-50. Well, I like this in the morning. I don't know. Well, let's get it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I'd probably get, like, a leprechaun on my ass if I had to, just because it'd
heard
be
that one.
Hysterical.
Would you do a pot of gold on the other cheek? Is that still the plan?
You know, I've kind of grown out of the pot of gold. I don't really want the rainbow connecting it.
Recently
have some burns on my cheeks where I feel like that rainbow would go, so.
I think if I ever got a tattoo, it would definitely, like, it'd have to be something really meaningful and very discreet, because that is just me. And I don't want it to be something they can see all the time.
Makes sense.
So, controversial opinion, I might get it in white.
Ooh.
I actually like a little bit more hidden,
but you'd have to be careful with the placement because it's tan weird and your skin gets weird. So, yeah, I don't know.
All right.
I got to hit you with an I don't know on that one.
That's lame, but whatever.
Not a great answer, but we'll let it slide.
Have you ever answered?
Have I ever answered?
Ooh.
Yeah.
The retort here.
I've planned a few tattoos, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She wants a face one.
I do really want to face it. No. Yeah, no, I've thought about getting, I want like some sort of a nature tattoo, I think. So like a tree or river or something.
Yeah.
I would get
like rivers or?
I do like rivers. Or I'd get like my family's initials somewhere or something along those lines or, yeah, stuff like that.
All right.
So, yeah.
Respect. Claire, because we know you're a little bit of a bookworm, we planned a nice little game for you here. So we're going to read off book titles, and you're going to tell us which one of us read it, Charlie or myself.
Okay.
I try to pick some difficult ones for you. So
I'm really bad at this, I feel like.
We'll see. the first one is, can I keep my jersey?
That was you.
It was me. And so just a little precursor here. I don't have to finish it for it to count as me reading it.
Okay, so you started it.
I get all through right. I get through the middle of a lot of books, and then I just let them hang out for a couple of years, and then I come back to them.
Do you have any like curve balls in here where it's gonna be both?
I can't tell.
I don't know. You have to figure that out.
All of the light we cannot see.
Charlie.
That's a good guess. It was Charlie. The Big Miss. It's a book about Tiger Woods.
Charlie.
Damn, she's killing it. Burning Down the House.
Have I ever heard of that book? You. I don't know.
Charlie.
Little caveat. It's Bringing Down the House.
Bringing down?
Bringing down.
Does that make it any better? Bringing down the house? Yeah, didn't think so.
It's about gambling.
All right. Bleeder. It's a story about a hemophiliac.
Charlie.
That was a trick. We both read it. We read it for a class we had together.
What? No, it's not fair. Why are we reading stories about hemophiliacs?
It was literature class. It was American literature. It was great. Some guy from Virginia had hemophiliac. He was a hemophiliac and he had HIV, right?
Yep.
Eggs.
Yep. So he had one of them first, and then he contracted the other one. I think he had hemophilia first, and then he contracted HIV through needles.
Transfusions.
Yeah, transfusions and stuff.
Yikes.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Shelby Smoke was the author.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty interesting book. I'll lend it to you sometime.
Good to know.
Yeah.
We got to talk to him in class, and Gray and I were like the only ones who asked him questions.
Yeah, Charlie and I were the only inquisitive ones about bleeding, I guess.
Blood!
Yeah.
Blood!
Not all the books you guys have ever read?
That's it. There's
one more.
List.
One more.
What's the one more?
Go, Dog, Go.
Go, Dog, Go. I'm going to say both of you.
I'd never read that. I don't even heard of that book.
It's a Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, yikes.
I read it.
It's like the one Dr. Seuss book I don't know, apparently.
Wow. I memorized all the Dr. Seuss books. I guess not. All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. Thanks for celebrating our episode 21. And you can listen to yourself later.
That you had 20 people you wanted to interview before me.
Actually, we had 21, and two of those were moms. So those were 11.1 and 11.2.
And we tried to have Connor on this week also, but he said no.
Don't
Thanks, Chuck.
Anytime.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Thanks for coming on.
Good. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And that was my twin, Claire. Fun interview, a lot of fun. A little disappointed with the tattoo answer, but
yeah, not gonna lie, pretty lame.
Probably the worst tattoo answer you've ever had, but we'll let it slide.
Maybe we'll check in with her later. Just ask the tattoo question.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. A little update call. Hope you're listening, Claire. Hope you just thought listening to yourself was awkward, because lots of people do.
We get that comment all the time from our guests.
I don't want to listen to myself.
And then I can't believe I sound like that. Oh, this is so awkward.
Yeah, how do you think it feels for us 21 times later? Or 22 times later? Well, Charlie and I, being from a good listener of the podcast, hopefully she's still
My there. Sister.
Your sister and Alex.
Indirectly my sister, directly Alex.
Yes, yes. Anyway, sent us personality tests, and Charlie and I took them. We're going to share a little bit about our personalities. Would you like to go first?
Oh, sure. Okay, so I took the test and I got ISFJ, which is the defender. The strengths that go along with a defender is being supportive, reliable, and patient, observant, enthusiastic, loyal, and hardworking, with good practical skills.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very practical.
Overall, though, I think that's pretty accurate. Then doing a little more reading about it, I learned that it basically comes down to people I care about, I hold very dear to me, and I will help them in any way possible. And I form very strong relationships, and so if I ever, you know, commit to being a friend with you, I will hold you very near and dear to my heart. It also says that I'm not very good at communicating my feelings, mm-hmm. and that I have a tendency to repress my feelings, which, I don't know, I think overall pretty accurate. Overall, I'm an introvert, which I totally agree with, but with the caveat that once I do get comfortable, I come out of my shell a little bit, which, again, spot on. So, yeah, as I've done more and more reading about this, I get a little more freaked out by how accurate it is. But, yeah, it's kind of cool to actually to do this, and it's kind of eye-opening and just kind of teaches you a little about yourself. I do want to read what are listed as my weaknesses.
Nice.
So I'm humble and shy, take things too personally, repress my feelings, overload myself, and I'm reluctant to change. Oh, and one more. Too altruistic.
Nice.
So, yeah. I don't know, it's interesting.
Can you define that word for me?
Altruistic?
Yeah, it's also in mine because I don't really know what that means.
It's being like warm, good-natured.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. I got the ENFJ, which is the protagonist. So I guess people are writing books about me. So that's cool. I'm in a lot of books. I'm in every book, actually, technically.
Hey, there's always a protagonist in every storyline.
That's true. Nice.
Congrats. So
they, you know, to, you know, be a little selfish, natural born leader, full of passion, charismatic. I don't know. I just want to share with you a couple people that also have it. Barack Obama, John Cusack, Ben Affleck, Oprah Winfrey, just a couple names. A couple names you might know. Some strengths. Tolerant. That might be true. Reliable. Charismatic. Probably.
Put the charm on.
Altruistic. As you defined it. Maybe. natural leader. I think so. Weaknesses. Overly idealistic.
I see it.
Maybe, yeah. Too selfless.
That one I don't see as much.
Yeah. Too sensitive. Depends on who you are. Depends on who I'm talking to. fluctuating self-esteem. I'm usually very not confident in myself. And then struggle to make tough decisions. True.
True. Bingo.
Yeah. Bingo. But yeah, you know, lots of politicians. Could read you about the romantic portion of my life being a protagonist, but just read about me in some books and you'll figure it out.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Let's close it out.
You go first.
Wrap it up.
You go first.
Easy one for me. You get by with a little help from, or I get by with a little help from my friends.
Nice.
Don Lennon. Everyone needs their friends.
Everybody's got them too. The friendly update. We just basically had the same quotes here. Did we just become best friends?
Yes. I don't know the rest of that quote.
it's just yep, but you just ruined it. I told you you're going to have to pick up on it, and you just didn't do it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll edit that out. Probably not. But,
oh, that was your quote? Yep. Did we just become best friends? Yep. You told me to be ready, and I was like, okay. I mean, I was sitting here waiting. I didn't realize you had already said it.
Yep. All right. Well, good strong ending here. Everybody have a great week, and we'll see you in August.
Deuces.